Zukunftsmusik,
futuristic music, passionate and cosmic music, the music of the spheres, mum music, family music, total music, power, down with the partocracy, all power to art, love, it's all there. Jonathan Mese claims it's all there on his new album Gesamtklärwerk Deutschland. Not only does its front cover reference Kraftwerk's first studio album, with Kraftwerk's signature traffic cone looming large on Mese's album cover too, it even sounds like Kraftwerk. Our latest edition of the podcast, as always a Goethe-Institut and Zentrum Bayern 2 co-production, is likewise packed with futuristic, passionate and cosmic music. In addition to Gesamtklärwerk Deutschland, this month's picks include four more great albums made in Germany. They're by Sophia Kennedy, Beirut, Annika and Jaco Jaco. This is Dithering Dave Creedon presenting the English version of Angie Portman's June Popcast. Here's what Jonathan Mese has to say about his musical tribute to Kraftwerk.
DJ Hell und wir, Mami und ich, lieben Kraftwerk.
My mum and I love Kraftwerk. So does DJ Hell. We love what is timeless and futuristic, and we use it. We're artists, so we get to use anything and everything. It's all material for a collage, and it's all made with love. That's the point. Without any politics.
Ohne Politik.
Das ist Zukunft, Gesamtklärwerk Deutschland, das wird kommen, Gesamtklärwerk Deutschland, Zukunft, 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 Zukunft,
This is not Mese's first collaboration with DJ Hell. Their first joint project 4 years ago was called hab keine Angst, ich bin deine Angst. In other words, have no fear, I am your fear. Their new album, Gesamtklärwerk Deutschland, which means Total Sewage Works Germany, once again fuses Mays' subversive lyrics with DJ Hell's electro beats, which this time around really sound like Kraftwerk, the electronic music pioneers from Düsseldorf. Mayser tried to explain how they went about it to my colleague over at Sinfunk, Florian Scheirer.
Also ich kann's ja immer technisch nicht so richtig gut beschreiben, aber wir haben uns
Well, I can never describe it very well in technical terms, but we'd meet up in the recording studio, where they'd set up mics for Mummy and Me. DJ Hell would play some beats, and we'd sing or speak or make sounds over the beats. And then he'd use all that material. He'd reassemble it, collage it, process it on the computer. We trust the experts, and he, DJ Hell, does everything without any ideology, politics or religion. He just goes for it, does it. Mummy is Mays' 95-year-old mother, Brigitte, who collaborated on two songs. Her contributions were not initially part of the plan. Brigitte Mayser recounts.
I've been working with Jonathan for 35 years. I don't produce any art. I do precisely what is not art for him. But after he'd been to the studio for the first time recording songs, and it came time for a second visit, I said, I've never seen a recording studio before, so let me come with you. So I went along and found it very interesting. Then DJ Hell hung a second microphone next to Jonathan's, moved us into position and said, now do some rapping, any way you like, which is what I did.
So wie ihr wollt. Und das haben wir dann gemacht.
Guten Abend, ich bin Lady Toleranz. Ich liebe das Leben und ich möchte, dass das Leben schön ist.
Nein, 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 nein.
Brigitte Mayser raps the lines, Ich bin Lady Toleranz, ich liebe das Leben, bin das Gute in Menschen. In other words, I'm Lady Tolerance, I love life, I am the good in people. Her son counters, Ich spalte alles, ich opfere alle, ich bin der Apokalyptiker. I divide everything, I sacrifice everyone, I am the prophet of doom. And this is how the song Apokalyptica came about. Two polar opposites facing off, as they do in real life, too.
Naja.
Na, total. Meine Mutter macht Ordnung.
Totally. My mother creates order, I create chaos. Though there is some order to my chaos, but I'm the only one who can see it. Mummy brings order into everyday life. And I have to disagree with her here. My mother always makes art. This notion that everyday life is not art. It is. Coping with everyday life is art, if you do it with love. This is also a message to all the people out there and animals and nature. Everyday life is always art if it's free of ideology. If you do something without ideology, it's art. Whether I make music or sell bread or work in a garage repairing cars, if I do something without ideology, but with the most total love, real love, and devotion, then it's art.
Echter Liebe, dann ist es Kunst.
After Jonathan Mayser and his ardent paean to art, including the art of everyday life, we'd like to take this opportunity to reach out to you. We'll be putting out our 200th edition of the podcast soon. And to mark the occasion, we'd like to ask for some feedback from our listeners. The farther away, the better. Though you don't have to be in Jakarta or Mexico City, we want to hear from podcast fans in Oberpframmen, Upper Bavaria, too. Wherever you are, get in touch with us by sending an email to angie.portman@br.de. And tell us who's your favourite band, a band you may have discovered here on the podcast. Such as Sophia Kennedy, for example, who's been showcased on the podcast before with a previous album. Now she has put out a new one called Squeeze Me. Here's a song called Rodeo off her latest album. That was Sophia Kennedy's tune, Rodeo. The album title, Squeeze Me, lends itself to various interpretations. Does somebody want a friendly hug? Or something more overpowering, to be crushed? So Angie asked her what she means by squeeze me.
In meinem Kontext ist es negativ gemeint oder negativ besetzt. Ich habe es ja...
In my context, it's meant in a negative sense or connotation. I've transposed it from a cartoonish plane into my context, where it takes on a completely different meaning. I'm more familiar with this slogan from toy shop marketing. This is what it always says on the plastic box by way of a prompt. Press here and something great will happen. So I thought it'd be great to play it being a product myself and to see Squeeze Me as a similar prompt to people who buy the product and then see what happens when they switch on the record, so to speak. Maybe other things will come out, not just squeaky glee.
Hervorkommen als jetzt nur quietschende Fröhlichkeit.
Sophia Kennedy is into defamiliarizing pop music by scratching away at the superficial gloss. Using weird cartoonish noises, for example, absurd slapstick or utterly contrary lyrics. One good example is Feed Me, a song whose music, she says, affects a certain naivete, but whose lyrics come across as sardonic, even downright malicious. The whole thing is then garnished with the loud squeaking of a balloon. Sophia Kennedy was born in Baltimore, Maryland, raised in Germany, and now divides her time between Hamburg and Berlin. On her third solo album, she has once again joined forces with her partner and producer, Mensa Reins, of the Golden Lemons, to record a cool avant-pop album that's as catchy and danceable as it is deep, a mix of garish cabaret and gloom. But Sophia Kennedy doesn't only work solo. She's also in a duo with Helene Radke called Charivari, and a frequent guest artist on albums by Raison, a project involving Georges Cameroun, Mensa Reins and PC Nacht. She was recently featured on a DJ Kotze album that we showcased here on the podcast. And she asked her how the collaboration went with Stefan Kotzala, a.k.a. DJ Kotze, an artist who says he's addicted to social distancing and a big fan of solitude. People get on his nerves, he says, as do compromises of any kind. It's nice to be alone, he told us on our April podcast. Sophia Kennedy explains how it worked.
Die Zusammenarbeit mit Stefan sieht eigentlich wie folgt aus. Ich kriege wie aus dem Nichts.
The collaboration with Stefan actually works like this. I get a message out of the blue, as if from outer space, with just a few words. What are you up to right now? And he sends some new music he's working on at the moment. I reply in just a few words too, saying, give me 15 minutes. That's our funny way of interacting. Though things don't end up going that fast after all, they may take, let's say, a night or so.
Lass es eine Nacht sein. Und ja, das klingt kalt und unromantisch.
Sure, that sounds cold and unromantic, but it isn't. Given our personalities, I think it does us good. Because on the one hand, we're shy deer, and on the other, we can be frightened chickens frantically running around the room. And the fact that I don't know which world he's in at any given moment, and he doesn't know where I am, often gives rise to something quite surprising, because it happens without any context, and things that don't seem to belong together end up coming together, which makes it an exciting way of working.
Aufregendes und spannendes Arbeiten.
Another shy deer is Berliner by choice Zach Condon, who hasn't appeared with his band Beirut in a long time. Last year, however, he was back on the road again, and sold out the Tempodrom in Berlin 3 nights in a row. Now Beirut have come out with a new album called A Study of Losses.
I belong.
first, we were surprised to hear that Zach Condon had written this marvellously melancholy and, in a way, classic Beirut album as a commissioned work for a Swedish circus. But Compagnie Giraffe isn't just any circus. It's a very special, magical production, as Condon himself explains. He did have reservations at first. He didn't want to be pigeonholed as circus music again, the way he was at the start of his career. But
as soon as I saw footage of what they were actually doing with this circus, I realized that it was something with more depth and there was a lot more quality to it. And so I noticed that they had done such a beautiful job. I had seen a performance for, it was called Moln. And they had done such a beautiful job with the lighting, with the sets, with the stage design, the costume. Everything was really quite tasteful and well done, and very interesting kind of world they created. And then I eventually got to see the actual performance in person, and I realized it was very expressive, and it was kind of bordering on almost like a dance performance or something like that. The performers were really able to kind of do something more artistic than just acrobatics, for example. And I actually like the mixture of the two because it just keeps it so interesting. And it's such a nice kind of in-between world where the two things are going on. So in some ways, it was because of seeing their last performance that the album kind of started to take the shape it did in the end.
There's something very nostalgic about A Study of Losses. The music seems to preserve long-gone memories, moods, feelings. The songs take us back to Beirut's early albums. They're deeply moving, and they grapple with transience and oblivion. Condon was inspired by a book called Verzeichnis einiger Verluste, An Inventory of Losses, by the German writer Judith Schalansky, which was published by Suhrkamp Verlag in 2018. Angie asked Zach Condon how he happened upon this particular book and what he found so fascinating about it.
So the book was not my choice. The book was Compagnie Giraffe's choice. They didn't have many rules when they gave me this project. It was very much do what you want, but base it on this book, however you feel like doing that, and pretty much one song per chapter. That was about the only rules they gave me, and I liked that. That was nice and open-ended, but it gave me a topic, a theme to kind of wrap my head around. And the book I did find extremely fascinating because it's the kind of existential questions I've wrestled with my whole life as well. Something along the lines of, what's the meaning of anything if anything we create in this world is just going to disappear into dust eventually? Sooner or later, everything will be gone. And what happens to it then? And should we try to preserve everything? And all these questions like that, which is, it's always been the case with me, especially since I was younger. As a teenager, I was starting to write all this music, and simultaneously, I was starting to be hit by these thoughts of, what is the point of anything, really? And so it was a very interesting subject to kind of dive into, and actually, I feel like in some ways I've spent a lot of my life almost avoiding these questions. So instead, to really look them in the eye and see what came out of it, you know, it was very interesting, kind of liberating in its own weird way.
Our next featured artist is Annika Henderson, aka Annika, who's also based in Berlin. Yesterday's paper. That was the song Hearsay off Annika's new album, which is called Abyss. Annika recorded her terrifically dark experimental electronic debut album in 2011 with Beak, Jeff Barrow's band. The follow-up, called Change, was a super diverse album with pop elements as well as synth-punk passages that smack of bands like Suicide. What always ties it all together is Annika's deep voice, which sometimes calls to mind PJ Harvey, and even Nico. Her voice is, at any rate, very distinctive, somewhat cool, and sometimes like a sleepwalker singing. Abyss is not quite as complex and bulky as his previous albums, but it has a rough, imperfect quality that we really like. With new wave guitars, which aren't wholly unknown in pop music history, but which Annika often quotes. She has listened to a lot of 90s grunge, she says, including fearless bands like Hole, for example.
Grunge for this Platte is sehr wichtig, weil irgendwie Grunge ist moody und Grunge, es hat keine Angst. Es sagt, was es sagt. Und
Grunge is very important for this record. Grunge is moody and grunge isn't afraid of anything. It says what it says without worrying whether it's wrong or right. That's the way it often was with Courtney Love on MTV. She said something about Madonna and it was false, which was embarrassing, and she was drunk. There was a scandal. I love that. Grunge was so vulnerable, so sensitive, so candid, often not smart, but at least not super evil either. We're living in these weird times now. On the left, there's no room for imperfection or mistakes. You've got to be so perfect all the time. Got to have a perfect Instagram profile and so forth. There's no room for change or discussion. Whereas on the right, everyone can say whatever they please.
Es gibt keinen Platz für Umtausch oder für Diskussion. Und dann im Gegenteil gibt es auf der rechten Seite so, alle können sagen, was sie wollen.
Annika's music has often been heavily political, partly influenced by Hannah Arendt. So too her new album, Abyss, which addresses the harsh political realities of our day and age, what with the rise of fascism, extremely polarized politics, and the problem of fake news.
In Hearsay es geht's viel Manipulation von Medien, also Sozialmedien, wie auch immer so.
Hearsay is largely about manipulation of the media and social media. The big media in other countries are in the hands of people with business agendas, or some other agenda anyway. Hearsay is largely about the news, what we read, whether it's true, how it influences our elections and our opinions. Many people get all their news from Facebook or YouTube nowadays without asking who wrote this, why, what's their agenda anyway. Once again, we're living in an age in which the media are being totally exploited for political purposes. And nobody questions that. People take it as the truth. And I find that dangerous.
Die nehmen es als die Wahrheit irgendwie, und das finde ich gefährlich.
Let's wind down this June podcast with Jaco Jaco. Jaco Jaco is a modular synthesizer specialist and a producer, live performer and Berghain resident. She recorded her album, Tet 41, during the last Tet Lunar New Year Festival in Vietnam, with a minimal hardware setup. And yet the result is a maximally expansive mix of ambient and technoid structures. Her new record opens and ends with a lot of field recordings, street noises, birdsong, and tourist conversations. I asked Jaco Jaco what the Lunar New Year is like, and whether this trip and this album have changed how she relates to Vietnam.
Das Tet-Fest ist quasi zu Deutsch Mondneujahrsfest.
Tet is the Lunar New Year Festival, also known as the Chinese Lunar New Year, according to the Chinese calendar, which is celebrated in Asia as a big New Year's festival, just as we celebrate New Year's Eve, ringing out the old year and ringing in the new. But somehow it all feels a bit more familiar. It feels to me like a mix of New Year's Eve and Christmas, only the Asian equivalent, with much more sunshine and colorful flowers, and with different food, of course, and totally different music. Naturally, that influenced me a great deal whilst writing the album in Vietnam, which is not my native country. I was born and raised in Germany, but my mother is from Asia. She was born in Laos, though her parents are from Vietnam. So my mother and I went exploring. We wanted to find out a little more about Vietnam and, of course, celebrate the new year. I have Vietnamese family, but I don't speak the language, which means I felt pretty foreign. I think that's pretty well reflected on the first and last tracks of the album, where I just say hello and thank you, which is a classic thing tourists know how to say. And that's how I still feel there.
Hallo und danke sage, das ist so das Klassische, was Touristen können. Und so fühle ich mich dort immer noch.
This is Dewlap Dave Creedon saying hello, or rather goodbye, and thanks for listening in on Antje Portmann's podcast. Ralf Sommer will be back in July.